Good evening. It is definitely wonderful to see all of you here this evening, and we have several visitors, and we just appreciate you being here. I know the moms or the sons, or whoever it is, however it is that you're visiting, I know they are just very glad to have you here. And for those of us who are members here, glad to see you as well, and just thank you for your attendance tonight. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Brother Guy mentioned this morning. He quoted this verse. And we want to look at this verse again this morning, a little bit more tonight. And when we look in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So as we think about that, and we think about what sin does in our lives, when we think about how sin is that weight, how we think about sin, that it does, it just weighs us down. It's something that just makes our hearts heavy. And something as sin is something that we all do as well. And we know that sin is a transgression of the law in 1 John 3, verse 4. We know that all people sin, and we know that they do that from Romans 3, verse 23. And we know that sin separates us from God. We know that from Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. We know that the punishment for sin is death. We know that from Romans chapter 6, verse 23. We know that when we have that death will be with that lake that burns with fire and brimstone from Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But we know that even though we have that sin, even though we have that sin that besets us, we have that sin that weighs us down, we know that God loved us so much that He sent us His Son. We just got finished singing about it. Good job on the songs, Stuart. Singing about being exalting, lifting Him up, because He took away, He paid the price for our sins. When we think about that, and we think about this sin, and we think, you know, how do I get rid of it? How do I get rid of sin? How do I get rid of it? And you know what? If I'm not a Christian, you can ask these little kids from the little kids class, and they can tell you. You can ask Cal or Olivia or Madeline or any of the kids, and they can recite those: hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, remain faithful. They can recite those. How do I want to get rid of sin if I'm not a Christian? It's to become a Christian. We see how Saul, as he's retelling about his conversion, and he says in Acts 22, verse 16, and I says, "Now why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, those sins that are besetting you, those sins that are weighing you down. Arise, be baptized. Wash that weight away, calling on the name of the Lord." He says, and we can go through these steps, and you know these steps. The kids know these steps, but we need to hear. And what are we hearing? We know that we're hearing the Word of God. And in Romans 10, 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Well, what exactly is it that we're hearing? What does He want us to hear? What did He tell them in Mark 16, verse 15? Jesus told them, "You go into all the world and you preach the gospel to every creature." What does He want them to hear? He wants them to hear the gospel. Who does He want to hear the gospel? He wants every creature, every person to hear the gospel. We see from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We see from 1 Corinthians 15 verses starting 1 through 4. What is the gospel then? What is the gospel? He wanted to declare unto them the gospel which He preached. So He's telling them, "I preached unto you the gospel. You received it. You're standing in it. And you're saved by this gospel." He says, "If you keep it in memory what I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." He said, then what was that gospel that He delivered? He said, "I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." Well, what did you receive? How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. How that He was buried, and how that He rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. So He died, He was buried, and He rose again. That's what He wants us to hear. So as we can hear, as we're putting away that sin, we're putting away that weight, and we're doing that, and we want to hear what? We want to hear Jesus. Because when we look to verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, what does He say? "Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith." So we're going back to who? We're going back to Jesus. We're going back to the one that we just sang about, being exalted on high. So we need to hear what he has to say. We need to hear the gospel that he brought. And we have a choice, don't we? As people who hear the word of God, we have a choice whether or not we want to believe it or not. What is it that we're going to believe? When they ask, what should I do to be saved? What he said, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Again, believing on who? Jesus. Why? Because in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, he is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. When we look in Mark, when he told them that he that believeth and what? Is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Believeth in who? Believeth in whom? Believing in him. Believing in him as what? Believing him as the Savior, as the Son of God, the one that came to take away the sins of the world. So then we have the choice too. We have the choice. We can look here, and if we believe not that he is who he says he is, what's going to happen? We're going to die in our sins. And again, we want to put away that sin. We want to set that sin aside because that sin weighs us down. And he's already been lifted up and he's holding all those sins for us. So why would anyone, in the sound of my voice who's not a Christian, why would you not become one? Because if you don't believe who he says he is, you're going to die in your sins. And then, what do you do with it? You've heard the word. You can choose to believe him or not. And then you can repent. And he tells us everywhere. He commanded all men everywhere to do what? To repent. To change. To turn. To turn from what? To turn from that sin that's easily besetting us. To turn from that weight that is weighing us down. He commands everybody to repent. What did he preach in Luke chapter 24, verse 47? That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, we have already read, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We've talked about, hearing the word of God. And now here it is, repenting and remission of sins. And we can see that, what is that repentance? What is that, when we talk about repenting and turning away, is it just turning away from my old ways of life? What does he say in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10? For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow works repentance. When we are truly sorry for what we've done in our lives, we are going to be making that change. That makes us want to change. When we think about what Jesus did for us, and we think about how much we've let him down, leads us to make a change in our life. And we see here that we see that repentance being demonstrated in Acts chapter 2. And these are things tonight that you know and that you've heard, but it's good to have those things for us to remember those things. When look back in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, when they had heard this, when they had heard that they were the ones that had crucified the Son of God, they were pricked in their hearts. When we know that we have let the Son of God down, when we know we have let Jesus down by our actions, by staying in sin, or by committing sin, do we get pricked in our hearts? What did they do? They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do? We have killed the Son of God. What is it that we can do to fix this? And he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. For what? The remissions of sins, the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then we have this, we'll look here at confession. We've heard the Word of God. We were able to believe it. Are we going to repent? Well, what can we do? We can also confess. We'll use this verse in the kids' class tonight. If you confess me before him, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me, I'm going to deny you. Why? Jesus, again, is what? He is the author and he is the finisher of the faith. The sin that is besetting us, the sin that is weight that is upon us, he can take it away. He can take it away. In Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, but what says it? It says, the word that is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, and it is the word of faith which we preach, that you shall confess who? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes to righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We see this as we see it, as we see the eunuch, and as he is traveling there with Philip, and Philip is preaching to him, and he's talking to him about Jesus again, the author and finisher of our faith. He's preaching to him about Jesus, and he comes upon some water, and he says, see, here's water, what's hindering me from being baptized? And what does Philip tell him? If you believe with all your heart, you mayest. And what did he say? He made a confession, and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that confession in Jesus. And then what can happen? What happened with the eunuch? Immediately they stopped and went down into the water and Philip baptized him. We see here again from Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Did the eunuch believe? You better believe it. He made that confession with his mouth and then he took that action and he was baptized into Christ. In Acts 2:38, what did he tell him? You repent and you be baptized. Why? In the name of Jesus. For what? The remission of your sins. Because he is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. Why? Why do we need to be baptized? What's so special about it? When we look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He shed his blood so that we could have forgiveness. And that forgiveness is found when we obey the gospel, when we obey him. We see this in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, when it says, he says, know ye not that so many of you were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God, so we should also walk in that newness of life. You see, that sin, those of you who are not Christians, that sin is weighing on you. And it's still there. It cannot be remissed if you don't obey the gospel. And when you do, when you die to that old man and you're buried just as Jesus was buried, and when you're raised out of those waters as Jesus was raised from that tomb, you walk a new life. It's a new life that you have. It's a new life. We see from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you're in Christ, what are you? You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you are a Christian, you have a new life. It's one that sin is not weighing you down anymore. It's one that where you want to get rid of sin, you become a Christian because Jesus will take it away. But sometimes, what happens? Sometimes we backslide, don't we? This wonderful new life that we have as Christians, and then we start to fall away. We start going back to those old habits. And sometimes we're like Simon who failed to live up to the standard of God. Backsliding, sometimes it's not just falling backward. Sometimes it's failing to go forward spiritually. And if we're not moving forward spiritually, if we're not moving forward in Christ, then we're naturally going backwards. So in a Christian life, there's no standing still. We're doing one of two things. We either are progressing as a Christian or we are regressing as a Christian. When you look at Peter and in his life, you see as Peter, as he was one that stood and said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You know, he was going to die for him. But you see that self-confidence as he starts getting a little prideful. His confidence is in himself and not in God. Then you have where you kind of stop. Sometimes you just stop praying, don't we? And as we stop praying, what happens? We get further from God. And we see then, at some point, now here Jesus is. And what's Peter? Peter is now at a distance from himself, from the Lord. He's following at a distance. He's separating himself from the Lord. And that's what happens when we start backsliding. It doesn't happen just like this overnight. It's little by little. Things that we start making confidence in ourselves. When we stop praying to God. When we see ourselves getting a distance from Him. Sometimes, as Christians, this is what we do. Sometimes it's like this. Sometimes you have a football player. And it may be in a kickoff. They catch the ball, and what do? They start running. They run and they step out of bounds, but they don't know they stepped out of bounds. They keep on running. They go all the way to the end zone, and they are so excited that they have scored a touchdown. But then, what happens? The replay. And after the replay, what happens? They go back to the very spot where they stepped out of bounds. They go back to the very spot of where the foul happened. And that's what happens whenever when we want to get rid of sin, when we want to get back on track, when we sin, how do we get back on track? We go to where we stepped out of bounds. We go to when we failed God, and we correct that mistake so we can go forward. When he told us, when we see here in Simon, what did he tell? Simon had just become a Christian. Simon had made a mistake in what Peter told him. He said, "You repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and you pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven thee." He had to get forgiveness of what he had done right then in order for him to keep on moving forward. We see then as Christian, as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we mess up, he says here in James 5:16 to confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man, it avails much. Because why does it avail much? Because you have brothers and sisters that are praying for your strength. They're praying for you to continue in the faith. They're praying for you as you pushing that sin back off. You're pushing that weight that is holding you down. We're confessing our faults, getting that sin off of us. Because we know that we serve the author and the finisher of our faith. We serve someone who is faithful. We serve someone that we know if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just. He's going to forgive us of those sins. He's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that's only for those who are in the Lord. Back in the teenage class, I told them this. If you mess up, then we need to confess up. And that's as simple as we can put it. Sometimes we mess up. Sometimes it's privately that we need to confess up. Sometimes it's publicly that we need to confess up. Because when you mess up, in order to get right, you got to confess up. And when there's confession, you see, when we confess our sins, God is praised. Sin is acknowledged and faith is declared. Why is that? Because when we confess our sins, God is praised because we are acknowledging that that is a sin, that we are acknowledging that God's way is right, His way is true, and our faith in Him is declared. We know that confession, it begins by calling sin what it really is. Not trying to sugarcoat something that we do. Sin is sin is sin. One thing I always tell the guys here in the back, they talked about, you know, different. We've been talking about kind of different sins and talking about in the lives of young teenagers and how as young teenagers we can be accepting of one sin, but if you say something else about another sin, it's like, oh, that is absolutely wrong. I don't want anything to do with this person. But another sin, oh, it's you know, I'm still going to hang around this person. Well, the sin is always condemned. The sin is always condemned. We love the sinner. Christ loved the sinner. God loves the sinner, but hates the sin. Confession involves seeing ourselves as we really are. How does Matt really see him as himself? How do you see yourself as you are? How you know your heart? You know how you know what you think about yourself. You know if you, you know if you are sure you are sincere in what you're doing. We have an example here of the Pharisee and the publican. Let's see which one of these men knew who they are, knew who they were. In Luke 18, verses starting in verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee is standing and he's praying to himself. He says, God, I thank you that I'm not like that I'm not as the other men are. I'm glad I'm not an extortioner. I'm glad I'm not unjust. I'm glad I'm not an adulterer. I'm glad I'm not even as this publican over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Did he know who he was? And then we see a publican. The publican, he is standing afar off. Not so much, he's not even lifting up his eyes to heaven. He smote his breast and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Did the publican know who he was? I tell you, he says, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. The publican, he knew who he was. He knew he was a sinner. And he knew who to go to take away that sin. Confession, what does it do? It releases us from the guilt that we have. It releases, again, going back to that Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, what does that sin do? It besets us. It weighs us down. But when we confess it, that truth sets us free. We see from Psalms 32, verses 1 through 5. Listen what the psalmist said. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, think about here, he says, when I was silent about my sins, when I was silent about my transgression, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Think of that sin. When we have sin and we keep sin in our lives, that's what happens. That's why it's heavy upon us. But look at verse 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity. You forgave the guilt of my sin. When we, us who are Christians, when we have sin, and we confess our sins, it's lifted off of us. It's lifted off of us. Why do we have such a hard time doing it then? Why sometimes does Matt have a hard time confessing his sins? Is it because of a lack of humility? Is it because we're worried about what people are thinking? Is it because we just don't, and we have that, we don't fear God like we should? Is it because we just don't want to change? Or we just can't admit that we're wrong? You know, when we look in, when we look at talking about confession, confession, it's going to restore our reliance to the Lord. It's going to restore our relationship with God. It's that first step in bringing about change because we acknowledge the sin. We acknowledge that the sin is in our life and we're able to get rid of it. So when we have sin in our life, there's two choices. We can confess it or we can deny it. We know from 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 7 through 11, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves of mankind, thieves, covetousness, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. None of these people are going to inherit the kingdom of God. But then as he's talking to them, he says, and such were some of you. Could you imagine someone participating in those types of sins? You were some of those, he told them. You were some of those people. But now what did they do? They were that because now they're not. Because what does he say? He says, you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of who? In the name of the Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not, he said. And if any man sin, you have an advocate with who? You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Why do we have an advocate with him? Because he is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. He is the propitiation. He takes our place. He took our place for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the entire world. It's because of Jesus that we can get rid of sin. If you're not a Christian, it's because of him that you can become one. If you are a Christian and you've fallen away, it's because of him that those sins can be forgiven. Let us choose to humbly come to the one who died for our transgressions. Let us ask for the prayers of our brothers and sisters. Let us reclaim our influence over our own righteousness. Let us be restored faithfully. We can't move forward unless our sins have been forgiven. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation tonight, won't you come as we